In a Chicago church, attending the funeral of a 10-year-old girl killed by gang violence, I had my awakening. As a CBS News anchor, I knew the formula for reporting tragedy: focus on raw emotion and fear. But sitting there, I realized we could tell different stories of a community rallying around a grieving mother, of neighborhoods slowly improving through coordinated efforts. These alternative narratives were equally true, but could inspire action rather than paralysis. This revelation changed everything. Despite having achieved my dream job at CBS News, on July 17, 2010, I walked away. Not because the stories were too negative or the hours too long, but because I'd glimpsed a profound truth. We're all broadcasters, constantly transmitting information that shapes others' worldviews. By changing the stories we share, we can create positive change in our lives and others. This book, which Arianna Huffington called transformative and has become required reading in companies like Google and Microsoft, reveals how we can harness this power by broadcasting happiness. Broadcasting happiness isn't about sugarcoating reality or ignoring problems. It's about strategically highlighting aspects of reality that fuel positive action. Research consistently shows that our mental broadcast significantly impacts outcomes, from reversing aging to tripling company revenue. In a groundbreaking 1979 experiment, Harvard professor Ellen Langer invited 75-year-old men to a week-long retreat designed as if it were 1959. After just 1 week living as their younger selves, the men showed remarkable improvements in strength, posture, flexibility, memory, intelligence, and even eyesight, improving 10%. Naive raters judged them as looking 3 years younger. This study demonstrates how changing our mindset, our stories about ourselves, can transform physical reality. Similarly, at Nationwide Brokerage Solutions, President Gary Baker initially dismissed happiness research as fluff. However, after implementing positive psychology workshops, his company's revenues tripled from $350 million to over $1 billion. The transformation spread throughout Nationwide, with the call center painted bright orange and employees enthusiastically being orange. The company rewrote its social script from "hit your numbers, then be happy" to "happiness leads to sales." This power extends beyond corporate settings. Rashana Baldwin transformed Chicago's Inglewood neighborhood through her "What's Good in Inglewood" media campaign. Despite the area's reputation for crime, Baldwin used her radio program, TV segments, and social media to broadcast positive stories about scholarship recipients, gun buyback programs, and job training opportunities. Her efforts gained national attention, and now positive stories about Inglewood appear prominently in Google searches. Research across Fortune 100 companies has identified three key predictors of workplace success: work optimism, believing good things will happen, positive engagement, viewing stress as a challenge rather than threat, and support provision, helping others. These metrics account for up to 75% of job successes. Optimists are 5 times less likely to burn out and 3 times more likely to be highly engaged than pessimists. Doctors with optimistic mindsets make correct diagnoses 19% faster, and optimistic salespeople outsell pessimists by 37%. Power leads are positive, optimistic beginnings to conversations that set the tone for social interactions. The way we start conversations significantly impacts outcomes. Negative starts hijack attention and resources, while positive starts orient the brain toward growth. Our brains can process only 40-50 bits of information per second while receiving 11 million bits, forcing us to constantly make choices about where to direct our attention. Like Sharon from Walmart, who introduces herself as the happiest person you will ever meet despite losing both her mother and husband, we can choose to focus on positives rather than negatives. When we focus on positive aspects of reality, we unlock learning and cognitive resources. Small words significantly impact conversations and business outcomes. Stanford researchers found that simply including the word "together" motivated people to work 48% longer with better quality. Positive priming enhances persuasiveness. People in positive moods are more receptive to new ideas than those feeling sad or fearful. Even priming with positive stereotypes like professor improved performance on knowledge tests. Implementing power leads requires identifying where you already use them successfully and building upon those strengths. When someone asks how you're doing, replace standard responses like tired or fine with something positive that happened that day. In meetings, start with positive news or gratitude statements. Charlie, a quality control manager, transformed his team's productivity by beginning meetings with 3 gratitude statements instead of focusing on fires to put out. For emails, simple power leads like "hope you're doing well" or positive subject lines set an upbeat tone. Even basic pleasantries like "hi" with someone's name can build social capital. With children, train their brains to scan for positivity by asking questions like "what was the best part of your day?" instead of general "how was school" questions. Every word counts, especially at the beginning of interactions. Whether you're already practicing positivity or just starting, using power leads can boost your signal. Scientifically speaking, the best way to get to a good end is to have a good beginning. Sunnyside High School transformed from a failure factory with a 41% graduation rate to an 89% graduation rate in just 7 years by changing their narrative. Rather than dwelling on failures, they identified and celebrated success stories throughout the school, creating a culture of excellence where students believed positive change was possible. Flash memories, the first thoughts that come to mind in response to a stimulus, powerfully influence our behavior. When negative, they cause avoidance or anxiety. When positive, attraction and engagement. Like in the movie Total Recall, our memories significantly impact our behavior. When we process the world, our brain encodes experiences through our personal lens, optimistic or negative. These memories can be altered when new information is introduced, meaning we can rewrite our own memories and influence others. To create positive flash memories, first spotlight the wins. RE/MAX exemplifies this by proudly displaying their 32 years of unstoppable growth graph and fostering a culture that celebrates wins while connecting employees to the meaning behind their work. Studies with competitive swimmers show that athletes who receive encouraging coaching alongside instructional feedback put forth more effort and prefer challenging activities. Second, select the package. Without personal emotional connection, success stories are useless. In a study by Adam Grant, callers who met scholarship recipients face-to-face raised 171% more money than those who only read letters or had no contact. Personal connection drives motivation. Third, choose the frequency. Repetition is crucial for creating lasting flash memories. According to advertising wisdom dating back to 1885, people don't even notice messages until the third exposure and only truly absorb them by the fifth time. Herbert Krugman's research shows we need at least 3 exposures to connect with a message, moving through curiosity, recognition, and decision. Each repetition strengthens neural pathways, making positive memories more accessible. Physical reminders like t-shirts help cement positive memories and achievements. At Sunnyside High School, students and administrators wear shirts with their motto, "Empower each other, support, honor, succeed." Tangible reminders of their transformation from struggling to successful. By spotlighting wins, packaging stories emotionally, repeating them frequently, and testing retention, we create strong, positive neural pathways that fuel future success. 2 10-year-olds approach smokers on the street asking for a light. When the smokers refuse and express concern for the children's health, the kids hand them a pamphlet reading, "You worry about me, but not about yourself." This clever approach led to a 40% increase in calls to a quit smoking hotline by sparking intrinsic motivation through a single, carefully crafted question rather than external criticism. Questions can bypass mental defenses, where direct statements often fail, making them powerful tools for changing stories, habits, and motivations. 4 types of questions can transform thinking. 1. Digging for gold questions, often why questions, reveal meaning behind success. Francesca, a pharmaceutical sales VP, transformed her annual meeting by asking why questions of her sales team instead of delivering boring statistics. She discovered that success came from meaningful connections, like the rep who visited a client undergoing chemotherapy, leading to renewed contracts and referrals. 2. Shifting the focus questions moved thinking from negative to positive by scanning for positive reality. At GTE, now Verizon, appreciative inquiry transformed the company by asking, what is working well right now that we need to do more of? This approach engaged all 64,000 employees, from CEO to hourly workers, generating initiatives like interviewing customers about exceeding expectations and creating measures for service successes rather than failures. 3. Next best questions. Move beyond limitations to focus on controllable aspects. At Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, Dr. Chris Feudner asks families of terminally ill children, given what your family is up against, what are you hoping for? This shifts thinking from lamenting the lack of a cure to creating the best possible experience within constraints. 4. What else questions open new avenues by asking, is there anything we forgot to discuss, as the final conversation question. During a skydiving assignment, this question saved the author from potential injury when her instructor mentioned not to straighten her legs during landing, advice they hadn't previously covered. While a single positive question can shift thinking and conversations, the full power comes when organizations or families adopt questioning as part of their culture. When marketing executive Clive's firm lost 6 major clients to a competitor, he engaged his team in asking critical questions. What made you decide to switch firms? And is there anything we can do to come back? Though they didn't immediately win back clients, the process shifted the company culture from stress and fear to education and empowerment. Questions interrupt current thinking patterns and open space for empowering stories to emerge, moving people from deficit thinking to new conversations. Whether you're the one inquiring or encouraging others to practice questioning, questions, combined with truly listening to answers, elicit new awareness and change both the asker and the answerer. After experiencing a miscarriage, I worried about turning 35 and facing supposed fertility challenges. Common facts suggested a biological clock countdown to 35, with substantially harder conception and diminished chances of family happiness after this age. While on vacation, I discovered an article by Jean Twenge that challenged these assumptions through proper fact-checking. Twenge, also a psychology researcher, investigated the widely cited statistic that 1/3 of women 35 to 39 won't get pregnant within a year, only to discover it was based on French birth records from 1670 to 1830. Modern research showed 82% of women 35 to 39 conceived within a year, compared to 86% of women 35 to 34. This revelation gave me hope, demonstrating how fact-checking can transform our perspective and behavior. My husband and I eventually welcomed a healthy baby boy named Leo. Fact-checking involves finding fueling facts, true aspects of reality that provide hope and empowerment when facing challenges. Our brains naturally scan for threats, the negativity bias, but training ourselves to identify activating rather than paralyzing facts creates an optimistic, empowered mindset. Despite the myth that pessimists see reality better, research consistently shows optimists are more successful. They're happier, healthier, more resilient, save more money, form deeper relationships, and take more productive action steps. Researchers Aaliyah Crum, Peter Salove, and Sean Acher fact-checked conventional wisdom about stress itself. While most stress management focuses on stress reduction and its harmful effects, they discovered equally valid but rarely discussed enhancing aspects of stress. In an experiment with UBS managers during the banking crisis, half watched videos about stress's negative effects, while the experimental group watched videos about stress's benefits, improved memory, cognitive ability, immune function, and mental agility. Though both groups experienced the same amount of stress, the experimental group showed a 23% drop in stress-related symptoms. Fact-checking can be done in 3 steps, preferably written down to preserve insights for future reference. First, isolate the simplest thought causing stress rather than its extrapolated consequences. Second, list only factual evidence supporting the worry, which allows expression while avoiding emotional distortion. Third, identify fueling facts, equally true information that supports a different narrative. When Mark felt overwhelmed about completing an important report by deadline, his colleague Eric helped him fact-check his stress. After identifying Mark's core worry, "I am never going to finish this project in time," Eric guided him to list supporting facts: heavy workload, busy team, exhaustion from extra hours, and family commitments. Then Eric helped Mark identify fueling facts, colleagues who offered to write sections, existing templates he could use, 28 available work hours before deadline, and his track record of good time management under pressure. This perspective shift transformed his anxiety into productive energy.
Negative people can severely impact our stress levels and ability to choose positivity. While temporary separation from negative influences can provide needed perspective, complete isolation isn't the answer. Strategic retreats allow you to withdraw, regroup, and return stronger. Dealing with negative people is the most common concern raised during my speaking engagements. Negativity from colleagues, spouses, or in-laws can harm our mental well-being and create unnecessary stress. Research shows negativity is highly contagious. It can spread depression, trigger physical symptoms like headaches, and potentially even shorten our lifespan by damaging DNA telomeres. Strategic retreats are powerful moves that can ultimately win wars, as demonstrated by George Washington during the American Revolutionary War. When conversations with negative people become losing battles, we need to temporarily withdraw to preserve our mental resources. Three criteria determine when to retreat. 1, your defenses are down, using the HALT acronym, hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. 2, they are deeply entrenched in negativity or emotionally charged. 3, you're in the wrong setting or surrounded by people who worsen the dynamic. After retreating from negative interactions, we need positive habits to buffer against negativity. 3 simple research-backed practices that take just minutes daily: sending a positive email of praise or thanks each morning, collecting 3 unique gratitudes daily, or taking pictures of meaningful, positive moments. When practiced for 21 consecutive days, these habits train our brains to scan for positivity, strengthen social connections, and diminish the power negative people have over our mindset. After strategically retreating and fortifying yourself with positive habits, craft a thoughtful re-entry plan to neutralize a negative person's power. Know the terrain by choosing optimal time, place, and duration for interaction. Bring reinforcements, other positive people who help disarm negativity through their presence. Finally, practice your 2-minute drill, a prepared script with safe conversation topics that help you accomplish your goal quickly without getting trapped in negativity. Just as negative people influence our brains, we can influence theirs through positive interactions. Each time we refuse to engage in negativity or misery poker, we elevate them above their toxic thinking. Every positive encounter with a negative person shifts their reality.
Can delivering bad news actually leave people feeling positive? Sheriff's Deputy Elton Simmons proves it's possible. After 25,000 traffic stops over 20 years, he hasn't received a single complaint and was even invited to dinner after one stop. Simmons masters delivering bad news through the 4 C's: creating social capital through friendly expressions and soft tones, giving context about community safety, expressing compassion for drivers' mistakes, and staying committed by offering follow-up support. Social capital, the resources available based on trust and willingness of our networks to support us, is essential before delivering bad news. The author shares Scott's cautionary tale, a new manager who immediately fired 2 underperforming employees without first building rapport with his team. Despite being ruthlessly practical, Scott's approach backfired spectacularly, leading to plummeting engagement, lost talent, and a demotion. Shared activities are the most effective way to build social capital. The social ritual of sharing food or drinks has created bonds for centuries, from medieval protection of guests to modern coffee meetings. These deposits into your social bank account can include volunteering, sports, movies, or trips together. The longer, more frequent, and more emotional the activity, the greater the social capital gained. When delivering bad news, context is crucial. The author contrasts 2 managers at Hewlett-Packard during massive layoffs. One who delivered negative information bluntly, "We're 5 days behind, stay late," versus another who provided complete context. The effective manager acknowledged previous effort, recognized specific contributions, explained who set the deadline and why it mattered, connected emotionally with team member sacrifices, and provided meaning behind the extra work. Compassion creates connection rather than hierarchical barriers when delivering difficult news. JetBlue's CEO David Neeleman's apology letter exemplified effective crisis management. "We are sorry and embarrassed, but most of all, we are deeply sorry." Rather than sugarcoating, he acknowledged customers' emotions, becoming disarming through his humanity. Research from Simon Fraser University confirms this approach works. Companies showing consideration during downsizing maintained higher productivity. After expressing compassion, commitment is essential to rebuild social capital. JetBlue's CEO Neeleman followed his apology by pushing for passenger rights legislation, making organizational changes, and compensating affected customers. When delivering bad news, you must show it's not the end of the story. A performance review shouldn't just state, "You're rated a 2 out of 10," but should include, "I believe you have potential to be a 9 or 10, and here's how we'll get there." Bad news doesn't have to signal worse times ahead if delivered properly. Restructuring can bond people together, and critical feedback can lead to growth and deeper connection. By creating social capital, providing context, showing compassion, and remaining committed, you build tremendous social capital for the future. Transformational positive broadcasters don't just share positive messages. They cultivate networks that amplify them. Getting others to share your positive messages multiplies their impact exponentially, creating contagious optimism that can transform cultures from stress and negativity toward optimism and action. The Hidden 31 are crucial to making your messages viral. Research with Training Magazine revealed 31% of professionals are positive but not expressive at work. These hidden broadcasters are already positive but need activation. Rather than focusing on converting pessimists, target these hidden enthusiasts who rarely speak up but command attention when they do. Studies show emotional contagion isn't driven by the most negative person, but by whoever expresses emotions most frequently. Unfortunately, anxious or frustrated people often dominate expression. Harper Reed demonstrated this principle as CTO for Obama's 2008 campaign, using micro-targeting to activate supporters' personal connections with potential voters, turning inactive supporters into enthusiastic broadcasters who could influence their networks. The most viral stories elevate the status of those who share them. People naturally want to be in the know because intelligence and social connection increase perceived value in networks. When you provide high-quality, unique information for others to share, you boost their social capital while spreading your message. Content moves through three types of people: creators, curators, and consumers. To make your message viral, create content that makes curators look smart when they share it. Despite common assumptions that negative news spreads fastest, research shows the opposite. Positive content is more likely to go viral, especially when emotionally arousing. Jonah Berger and Catherine Milkman analyzed 7,000 New York Times articles and found stories evoking high positive emotions like happiness, joy, and awe were shared most frequently. While sensational clickbait headlines may generate views, truly effective viral content must be practical. News you can use that helps people make better decisions gets shared more readily than random stories about accidents or violence. Solutions-focused messages that inspire behavioral change are particularly powerful. Action begets sharing. To make positive stories go viral, lower the activation energy required for others to share them. Create headlines that draw interest and formats that facilitate forwarding. Infographics are particularly effective, as they turn anyone into an expert. The key is making information both practical and easily shareable. Effective positive stories should be leveraged fully rather than just told once or twice. Operationalizing a message means getting others actively involved to maximize its impact. The ultimate goal of viral positive stories is transforming them into positive behaviors that create a culture of infectious optimism. Ochsner Health System demonstrates this perfectly by adopting the Ritz-Carlton's approach to customer service. They trained 11,000 workers in the 10-5 way: make eye contact and smile within 10 feet of someone, and smile and say hello within 5 feet. This simple behavioral change transformed their hospitals from places of sickness to places of health, improving both staff and patient satisfaction while boosting the bottom line to $1.84 billion in revenue in 2012. Broadcasting happiness starts with someone speaking up and sharing a vision of a new reality. Common wisdom suggests focusing on negatives to drive change, but this book shows that broadcasting what's working can be more powerful. Finding and sharing examples of success shows others that success is possible and how to achieve it. Research shows we influence others' broadcasting choices. A Facebook study of 689,000 people demonstrated that positive news feeds led people to post more positive content themselves. This influence comes from social proof, our natural tendency to follow what others are doing. By modeling broadcasting happiness principles, you provide social proof that focusing on the positive is how things are done around here. Despite what negative news might suggest, Harvard researcher Steven Pinker's work shows we're living in the most peaceful time in history. Murder rates, war deaths, and infectious disease deaths are down, while life expectancy, quality of life, and education access are up. The time for news organizations to shift towards solutions-focused journalism is now, with a new model called transformative journalism that showcases positive actions taken in the face of challenges. Love is all around us, though it's often not particularly newsworthy by conventional standards. As Hugh Grant's character in Love Actually reminds us, even during our darkest moments, like the Twin Towers tragedy, people's final messages were of love, not hate. This invisible fuel activates us to connect with others and improve the world. While mainstream media might not prioritize these stories, we can make them the headlines of our personal broadcasts. From workplace successes to family achievements, these seemingly small victories become embedded in our lives only when we consciously share and celebrate them. We don't need to wait for media to change. We can apply these principles now in our families, organizations, schools, and social media. You are a broadcaster, an agent of change, the spark that gives others the chance to rise and truly broadcast happiness.